I ask you to turn in your scripture to the Word of God to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 for our reading this morning as we continue our series together. Joshua, claiming your Canaan. We'll be reading the first 8 verses of this wonderful chapter together. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. And here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, for its truth, its power, its life. We thank you, Lord, as we come to your word again this morning, and we thank you for this wonderful story of Joshua and what you've been teaching us as we move forward in our faith to claim, Lord, that abundant life that you promised all of us as we follow you. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning in our place of need. And, Lord, in the rivers that are in our life that may seem insurmountable, that you'd give us, Lord, the grace and the power we need to cross those rivers by faith through you. And Lord, bring glory to yourself through your word this morning. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When our ancestors settled this area back in the 1700s, they first came into Philadelphia, then made their way up to Lancaster, continuing their settlements west. Coming west from Lancaster, they were met with a big barrier in the way. I don't see what happened. They were met with a barrier in the way of the Susquehanna River. And that blocked their entrance. And it made a barrier, a barrier to their progress. And so they had to come up a way to come across this barrier to continue their settlement west. It stood in the way of that mighty Susquehanna River, as beautiful as it was, about 1.5 miles across from Columbia to the other side. And so a settlement arose called Wright's Ferry. And at Wright's Ferry, they would ferry people to the other side of the river so they can continue. They found a way that through ferrying people, they could cross that barrier. It wasn't long that ferries soon rose at a place called Anderson Ferry, Vinegar Ferry. Those places continued and names continue to this day. And later on, they built a bridge. They took them from the Lancaster side to the York County side. That bridge expanded, and then during the days of the Civil War, that bridge was burned to prevent the crossing from the Confederate soldiers into Lancaster County. Later on, another bridge was built, but through the bridge being built, they were able to cross that barrier and continue forward. It's beautiful living here in the Susquehanna Valley, and the Susquehanna River, as beautiful as it is, makes that barrier, but it's beautiful living here. We can go for picnics along the trail, and we can enjoy the beauty of that river and the boundary that it makes for us. And usually, living along the Susquehanna can be peaceful. It can be nice unless a flood comes. If the flood comes, the beautiful Susquehanna River, which seems peaceful, it doesn't seem much of a problem, it can become beside a barrier, it can become a major problem. Because that Susquehanna River can go from that to that. Those pictures were taken during Tropical Storm Lee, which Tracy remembers well, when the Susquehanna River came over its banks, way over its banks, flooding Marietta and a lot of our area all around here. And what looked like the peaceful river became a major, major problem as the flooding of that mighty river grew worse. We are in the theme of Joshua, how to claim our Canaan. And we began the series a couple weeks ago. And God wants us to cross over into the land of promise. Our Canaan, the symbol of abundant living, a victorious life, and of living for Him. We've seen as we began this series that He wants us to move forward in our faith and not to be content where we are, but to continue to making progress as we follow Him. But for Israel, as they were ready to make that entry into the land of Canaan that God had promised them, there was a barrier in their way. Much as the Susquehanna was a barrier to the early settlers of our area, the Jordan River was a barrier to Israel. And they could not get to the other side until they crossed that river. Normally, the Jordan River wouldn't have been too much of a problem. At Gilgal, where they were going to be crossing, this is a picture of it. It was only about maybe 100 feet. It wasn't that wide of a river. And so normally it wouldn't have been too much of a problem or a challenge to get across that river. But when God brought them, as we read in Joshua chapter 3, to that river to cross, the scripture says it was at flood stage. And at flood stage, the Jordan River expands from about 100 feet across to this, over a mile across. It's 50 times wider than what it normally would be if it was flowing within its banks, usually. So how would they get across a river like that? I'm sure as they came across that barrier, their hearts sank. And they thought, they could see Canaan land, they could see the promise, they could see the abundant life on the other side of what God was promising, but that barrier of getting there stood in their way. And they thought, how are we ever going to get across? There was no way that they could cross it. They didn't have a ferry. They didn't have a bridge. There was no way. At flood stage, when we know in flood stage the river flows faster and it's swifter, to go into the river you'd be swept away with the current. So there was no way they could step into it, they didn't think, and go across. They needed God's help. That was the only way that they could cross and take possession of that land. God wants to offer us that abundant life, and He wants us to move forward in our faith for Him and enjoy victory in our life each day. But in order for us to get to the other side and claim our Canaan, many of us, we are faced with that barrier of the Jordan River between us and where God wants us to be. And every one of us here faces our own Jordan River from time to time. You know, that Jordan River is those obstacles that are in our way that hinder us from spiritual victory. Those problems that we face, those storms in our life that seem insurmountable and uncrossable, and there is no way we can get through it. We all been there? We all are. You're probably, whatever is on your mind this morning, right now when I mentioned it, is that river for you. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a physical need, and you got some really bad news about your physical health. Maybe it's a concern for a family member or a loved one. Maybe it's hardship or illness. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a sin in our life that we just can't seem to overcome. Maybe it's bitterness or unforgiveness. But all of us have a river that is between us and where God wants us to be on the other side. And to get to that life of abundant living, claiming our Canaan, we got to get over that Jordan. But how? It's too wide. It's too deep. We can't go through it. We can't go around it. And we feel like we'll never, ever be able to cross that river. Ever been there? It's just too great. We'll never enter the land of Canaan. We'll never get to that place of abundant living. We'll never get to that place where God wants us to be because the river stands in our way. And it's just too great. Have you ever sized up your Jordan River and thought about how big it is? Maybe you looked at it and you said, it's just way too big. There's no way around it. There's no way through it. There's no way over it. There's no way I'll ever get past this problem. It's just hopeless. I might as well get used to life on this side of the Jordan because I'm not ever going to get over there. As much as I may want to, as much as I could see Canaan land on the other side, I'm not going to get past this Jordan. It's just too big. But as big as things are to us, we have a bigger God, don't we? And he is bigger than any problem or mountain or river we will ever face in our life. So when you say, there is no way, God says, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. Aren't you thankful for that? It's the kind of God we have. So if you want to cross your Jordan this morning, whatever it is in your life that you need to get past, there are three actions that we need to take. And we see them here in the scriptures. We look at this wonderful story of Israel's crossing the Jordan River. First is to seek the Lord. To seek him. To seek him with all we've got. It says in verses 1 to 4 that early in the morning, Joshua got the people together. And before crossing over, he said, sent the orders among the people and said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and who are carrying it, move out and follow it. The Ark of the Covenant, the priests were to carry that. And he said, when you see that Ark, follow it and move it. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic. It represented the person, the power, the presence, and the promises of God. It was a symbol of both of his holiness and of his grace. Because the Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in the tabernacle, the place where God's presence would dwell. And it was symbolic of his presence, and he would dwell among what was called the mercy seat of that covenant between the angels. And inside that box, overlaid with gold, was the covenant or the law of Moses, symbolic of God's word, of his promises that was with them. But on top of that cover was what was called the mercy seat or the atonement cover. And it was there that once a year the high priest would come and sprinkle blood, the blood of the lamb, on top of that mercy seat, covering over the law to make atonement for the sins of the nation. And it was a picture of both the justice and the mercy of God, of his presence of both, that God is both holy, but he is also forgiving and merciful and loving. And he said, when you see that, follow. Seeking the Lord after him by pursuing him. He says, when you see that ark, follow, pursue. Pursuing, going after him. And if you're facing a river in our life, the first way we can get by that river is to seek God with our entire heart. Jesus said, seek me and my righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well. to pursue Him, to make sure that we're in a right relationship with Him where we need to be, and honoring Him above everything else. Seeking Him by pursuing Him and by following Him, because He says when you see that ark, follow it, and you will know which way to go since you've never been this way before. They didn't know how to get across that river. It seemed insurmountable to them. But as they sought God and sought His direction and followed Him, He was going to make a way for them. And we need to follow our Lord because He knows the way to go. And He also will show us the way to go. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, He is the good shepherd, and His sheep hear His voice, and they know Him, and they follow. As we listen for Him, following means being attuned to Jesus. So attuned to Him that we can hear His voice and recognize it from the lies. Because see, our enemy tries to deceive us. And he tries to lead us astray. But following Jesus is being so tuned into Christ that we can tell whether it's Him, His voice, or someone else. Listen for Him and His guidance. Listen for His voice, but also to know His voice and to be receptive to His voice as He speaks to us. God will lead us. He will make the way. But seeking Him is the first way we can begin to cross this river. So I ask you this morning, how are you seeking? How much do you seek after God? Through His Word, through listening to His voice, through taking the time, because seeking after God takes a commitment. It takes us that priority of honoring, first seeking Him first, of pursuing Him more than we pursue others. Following His guidance and honoring Him. He says here, when you follow the ark, to keep your distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Don't go near it. Because as we seek God, He is our shepherd. He will guide us. But yet we need to honor Him for who He is. And the ark was a picture of both, as I said, the mercy and the justice. But they were to keep, even though God's presence was with them, they were to keep a distance between themselves and the ark, showing that God was and is holy and distinct from us. Keeping our distance and showing Him the respect because He is God and there is none other. And as you're going through and looking for direction across that river, yes, God will show us the way. But yet we need to honor Him for who He is. And so often we try to bring God too far down to our level, and we think He's just a buddy. And we call Him our buddy and our friend and our pal. And yes, He's with us, but yet He is God. We need to honor Him for who He is. And respect Him, that means accepting His word. Keeping our distance and showing Him respect because He is God. And we're not. Meaning that He knows what's best. And there is one God, friends, and it's not you, and it's not me. And so often we think that we can figure out our own way. We think we know what's better. We think we can get away through this river. We can do it ourselves. But we can't. We need to seek Him. And we need to give Him the honor that He is worthy of. The first step in crossing this river was to follow the ark, to pursue God, to honor Him above everything else. And maybe, just maybe, one of the reasons why that river is insurmountable in our life is because we have not honored God first. Sometimes when we don't honor God first, we allow problems to come into our life. And when we allow it happens, the things can happen in our life sometimes because of that. Not always, but sometimes because if we don't honor God entirely, sometimes we make a mess of our lives. So pursuing him, honoring him first, seeking him. How are you doing with that? That's where crossing the river begins, but that's only the first part of it. But secondly, if we want to cross that river, we also need to surrender ourselves. Look at verses 5 and 6. And this is all preparation before they even made the crossing. Verses 5 and 6, he says, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. That word consecrate is a word that means to be set apart, to be holy, to be dedicated. It was used in connection with the Old Testament sacrifices of worship. In this case, it's in the reflective tense. Notice he says, consecrate yourself. It means it's something that we must do. Just as we must seek God first in order to cross the river. Secondly, in order to cross the river, we must consecrate ourselves or surrender ourselves. That involves two things. It means confessing our sin and confessing the sin in our life, because that makes a problem. Consecration involved cleansing, both cleansing and confession. And when we confess our sin, it removes the barriers and allows God to work. Let me illustrate it this way. Suppose at home, your drain in your kitchen sink got all clogged up, and you were washing your dishes, and you got a whole bunch of junk and dirty food down into your drain, and it got all clogged up. And you turn the water on, and it doesn't drain. It just backs up there. And what do you do? How do you get that clog out? How do you get the water to flow again? Well, you have to go down in there, and you got to use liquid plumber or get something, or go down in there and get the clog out. And until you get the clog out, the water won't flow adequately, will it? It's the same in our spiritual life, because, see, when we have sin in our life that we haven't dealt with, it makes a barrier between the flow of the Holy Spirit working within us. And God's Spirit can't work through us and work in us as he wants to and as he can, because we have a barrier there. And sin can prohibit God from doing his work in us and through us. And when we allow that, the longer we allow that to go on, the longer God's power will be hindered in us. And it can prohibit. Part of the preparation for Israel was to confess their sin, to consecrate themselves. And I ask you this morning, the river that you're facing, that you need to cross, is there sin in your life that you haven't dealt with that may be a barrier to God working, doing his work to bring that river to cross, to help that river be crossed? It removes the barriers so God can work and allows his Spirit to work through freely through us. It also refreshes and restores our faith. And restores our faith that we can trust him and believe that what he tells us will be true. It refreshes our, restores our faith to take that next step and to take that challenge to follow him where he wants us to go. So surrender yourself, confess your sin. As if the Holy Spirit is laying anything on your heart that you need to deal with, then we need to take that action before the river can even be crossed. It's got to begin with us. We got to look at ourselves first. God will do his part. But sometimes we get in messes of our own making. And second, commit to his purpose. He said here to take up the ark. He says, take it up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on to the head of the people in verse 6. That taking up, again, is like Jesus said, to take up the cross. It's taking that up and following him, committing to his purpose, dedicating ourselves to what he calls us to do. So if we want to cross the river, you got to seek him, and we got to surrender ourselves. That's where it begins. That's part of the preparation. But you may say, but Pastor Dan, I did that. As far as I know, I am seeking the Lord with my whole heart. I am seeking his will and purpose. I have confessed sin in my life. I've surrendered myself to God's will and purpose, but yet the river's still there. The waters still haven't parted for me. It still can't get to the other side. I'm still here on this side of the Jordan. I still can't get across. This problem is still here. Yes, I've confessed with my sin. I've dealt with that. I'm seeking God, but I still have this insurmountable river that I'm facing. What am I missing? That gets us to the third step that we must take, third action in order to cross the river. And that's to step into the water. And this is often where it breaks down for us. Yes, we're seeking God. We've dealt with the sin in our life. We need to. We've consecrated ourselves to him. But until we take that step, trusting, going forward, stepping in the water by faith, the river's not going to part. Notice what happened in verses 7 through 17. God said, "Today I will begin to exalt you." And he said to them, "When you reach the edge of the Jordan, go and stand in the river." So reading down in the story, we read that the water did not part until the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant put their foot in the water. Now, if you picture this, it's flood stage. It's over a mile wide. It's 50 times wider than it normally is. And Joshua says, "Go into the water." It's the only way is to go forward into the water by faith. And I can picture the priests maybe putting that little toe, you know, is this going to work? But it wasn't until they stepped into that water that the rivers, it says that God parted the sea, the water, river, and it backed up. Actually, it's set up in the town of Adam, which was about 45 minutes upstream from where they were. And the water backed up and stopped. And they were able to cross. Because, see, when we step into the water and we step in, God, we will stand on. We will stand on his promises. Notice in verses 9 and 10, it says, "Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And this is how you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Amorites, and Jebusites.'" He said, come hear the word of God and know through his word what he's promised, that this is how you know your river will part, because he promised he will do it. So when we step into that water, we will stand on the promises of God. And will God fail us in his promise? No. And if we take that step of faith, he will part the water, but we got to believe him. We got to take that step of faith and say, "Lord, I'm trusting you with this. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm trusting you that you are going to get me through this. You are going to take this problem from me. You're going to help me through this river. I can't make it by myself. And I'm standing on the promise of your word that you will never forsake me. That if I step in, I can stand on you." Aren't you thankful that we can stand on God? That we can stand on his promises in the midst of the river that we face? In the midst of the storms? But when we step in, it takes us stepping in. of going forward by faith. It's very comfortable for us to stay on this side and to say, but it's too scary to go into the water. I'm going to stay where I am. It's more comfortable here. But you got to step in before God will move. If we step in, we will stand on. And if we step in, the waters will stand up. Verses 12 through 16 tell us that as soon as the priest set foot, verse 13, the waters stopped flowing downstream, were cut off, and stood up. There it is, stood up in a heap. But that didn't happen until they first stepped in. God is waiting for us to trust Him and believe that He will get me through this river. He will get me across it. And if we but step in faith and trust Him, He will part the waters somehow. He will make a way. We may not understand it at the time, but we can trust Him to believe that the way He makes for us will be a good one, right? The way He makes for us will be a way for us that is honoring, is good for us and Him. We can trust that. And the waters will stand up. And so what river? But they did not part until the priest carried the ark, put their feet in the water. So I ask you, what river do you need to cross today? What waters do you need to part? A burden that you carry? A physical need? Emotional need? A family concern? What river seems uncrossable this morning? Give it to God. Step in faith. And believe that in His way, in His time, He will part the water. Take the first step of faith into the water and trust God to do the rest. Because He is working upstream, and at just the right moment, the waters will part. That river backed up way upstream, and God was already at work there before Israel had even seen it, that at just the right time, the water stopped flowing where they were, but He had already started up before they could even see it, backing the water up. And He like dammed it up so that by the time it would stop flowing down to where they were. But He is already working behind the scenes in their life. They didn't know it at the time. And God does that in our life, that He's already working in ways upstream down beyond the next curve that we can't see. But we can trust Him that at just the right moment, it's going to be enough to part the river and I'll be able to get through this. If we trust Him. I'll get across it by faith. And if we step in, God will stand firm. And He will stand firm with us and not forsake us. Verse 17 says that the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until all Israel passed by. And until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. What does that tell us? It says when we step into that water by faith, God will stand firm with us. And He will not forsake us. He will be with us until we completely cross that river. Completely. He stood with them in the middle. And He will not leave you in the middle of the river floundering. And if we step into that river, maybe that's one reason we think I don't want to get into that river because I'm going to be floundering in the middle of it. I'm going to get halfway across and then I won't make it. But God's not going to leave us floundering in the middle of that river. He's standing with us in the middle complete until we safely get to the other side. He'll make a way for us to get through there, but He's going to stand firm with us all the way through that river to the other side. Aren't you thankful for that? That He won't forsake us upstream. when the current gets too strong. But he'll be standing firm in the midst of that till we're safely through the other side and it passes. That's the God we have. So God, any rivers that you think are uncrossable, any tunnels that you can't, mountains that you can't tunnel through, our God specializes in things seem impossible. And he can do just what no others can do. He wants us to claim the Canaan. He wants us to go to the land of promise on the other side. We can see in the other side of the bank where he wants us to be, the abundant living that he's promised us, the victory that he has in store, but that barrier of the river is too great. Yes, it's too great for us, but with God's help, we can cross it this morning. When we seek after him with our whole heart, seeking the ark, seeking the Lord, following him where he leads, consecrating ourselves and surrendering to him to make sure that there's nothing in our life that is hindering his work through us, and then stepping out in faith, knowing that when we step out, we'll stand strong in him. The waters will stand up and he'll stand firm with us until the end, that nothing will forsake us. So seek him, surrender, and step into the water, because God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who makes a way for us. The barrier ahead of us sometimes is so great that we're facing. Lord, for ourselves, for our loved one and our family, for physical needs we're going through, for our financial concerns, for a family member, for ourselves, for emotional needs that we have. And Lord, we just say, it's just too great. I can't get through this. And Lord, we're right. We can't get through it. The river's way too big for us. But you provide that way that we can get across to the other side. Lord, when we seek you, pursuing you, Lord, and in your word and in prayer, can surrendering ourselves to your will and purpose and stepping into that water. Lord, help us to have the courage to step into the water by faith. It's comfortable, Lord, on the shore. It's comfortable on the banks of the river. And it's to take that step of faith into the raging water at flood stage is hard. And Lord, we need you. So give us, Lord, your strength and your courage. That's why you called Joshua to be strong and courageous, because you knew the challenges that were ahead of him. And so, Lord, we need your help. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise that when we do step in by faith, that you will make a way, that you will help us get through this somehow, a way that we cannot see, that only is known to you. You will make that known. You will cause the waters to stand up, and we will stand strong on your word, and you will stand firm with us till the end, not forsaking us, until we are safely through and with you. So, Father, thank you for your word and its truth. Help us to apply it to our life and to be encouraged by it as we live for you each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.